Well, a very good evening to you. This is Over to You with Ray Godby. And it's a privilege for me tonight to have with us in the studios Dr. Chris Target, who is taking part in a solo, unsupported motorcycle... Oh, well, let's put his microphone up. Motorcycle road from England to South Africa and Nepal and back to England for charity, all in 6 to 8 months. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Right, so I'll put your microphone up. I thought you were going to speak to me then.
Sorry.
I like the way it says 6 to 8 months. There's a little leeway there.
Well, there is, but that was the plan when I last came on HCRFM. Unfortunately, at the end of December, thanks to politics and generally people yearning to be free, I now can't go through Africa. Unfortunately, the Libyans, whilst at war, were more than happy. They said they'd give me a visa, but afterwards they said their country's not ready. So I can't get a visa for Libya, I can't get a visa for Iran, and unfortunately you can't sort of get into Africa any other way now. So I've had to reschedule things, and I'm doing the same distance, but I'm circumnavigating South America instead.
Oh, right. So shall we go back to the beginning? You're starting off from...
Well, I leave from Heathrow, fly out to catch up with the motorcycle, who's flying to Buenos Aires as we speak. I think he's in the air at the moment. Get to Buenos Aires and then head all the way around the continent, heading south first, and to stop in hopefully all 11 countries.
Right, okay. And you finish up in back into Huntingdon or back into...
Well, back into Buenos Aires, and I'll fly back. And
you'll
then
you'll fly back again, right.
Finish back at the MagPass offices in St. Ive, which is where the bike and I left from a week ago.
So by that, you're raising funds for MagPass.
I'm going to try my best, yeah.
I'm sure. It sounds like you ought to raise an awful lot anyway. I must admit, I am impressed. I have been seeing a lot about you in the press and getting the message out there. You've done well there, and I've been seeing tweets about you today, so that's good. What made you want to do this particular solo motorcycle? You're obviously a motorcycle fan for a start.
Well, I became addicted when I was a college student in London. And ever since, and I was 19 at the time, I've had this dream of doing a grand adventure on a motorcycle ever since. And it's taken me, oh dear, 15 years, I'm sorry to say, to actually manage to do it. You've got to be in a position where and have a job where you can just give it up for 5 or 6 months. And I'm very lucky to be able to do that.
You're just getting leave of absence, are you?
Well, I actually had to give up my job as a doctor, my full-time job, in August, and work as a locum, going around filling in the gaps when other doctors were off sick, which is a bit of a rootless existence, but the pay's not bad. And it enables me to do this, because I can just stop taking work and pick it up again when I get back.
Right. The other thing is, obviously, you can't do this without actually money. You've got to survive, and it's very expensive. Have you been raising money to cover your expenses?
No, I didn't think that was the right way to go. All the money I've raised from individuals, 100% of it has gone to the charities. All the other expenses I've paid for myself, everything. It's cost me about... I don't know, over £20,000, which is, unfortunately, I just recently learned how bad my credit rating was when I had to get a quote to pay for a loan to pay for the trip. Some companies have been very kind to sponsor me for advertising on the motorcycle and the website, and that has gone towards paying for the fuel.
Right.
But anything that's sort of mine, like the motorcycle and the clothes and the boots, etc., they'll still be mine at the end of it. So I thought it's not right for that to be funded by anyone else. I'm not trying to do it for a free holiday. I want to raise as much as I can for the charities.
Right. It says unsupported. Are you going to be completely on your own?
The only people will be there, and people is perhaps stretching it, but not for me, is my motorcycle, Sir Humphrey Bikleby, who I love dearly.
Yes.
Little Tigger, my travelling companion, who's a little stuffed toy, that we've travelled about 15,000 miles together. Magpaws, the MagPass bear, will be sitting on the back of the motorcycle.
Yes, we've seen him. Well, the last time a gentleman came in from MagPass, he actually brought a bear in. I think he was trying to flog me one.
But otherwise, it'll be just me.
Just you.
One man going around. I'll hopefully be doing all the motorcycle maintenance myself. I'd like, you know, obviously you can never predict things going completely Pete Tong, but I hope to be able to do it totally unsupported.
Right.
I think my basic mechanic should be able to support the bike. I've got some catgut to sew myself up if I need to, and a few essential medications.
That's the advantage of being a doctor. You can do it yourself.
Well, unfortunately, I can't take any local anaesthetic with me, so it'll be fun if I do have to do this.
Oh, dear. So you'll probably be like some of your patients, say, grin and bear it.
Yes. Yeah. They'll be getting their own back on me from a distance.
That's right. What sort of bike?
He's an Austrian. He's a KTM 990 Adventure, so he's very big and very orange. And as right. my nickname's Tigger, it sort of fitted
A motorbike fan to know. I only developed when I was younger to a Honda 50, so you can tell I'm not a motorbike fan, really. Well, if you know a Honda 50, and that used to just get me back and forward.
Who doesn't? The most successful motorcycle ever made.
Right, was it? Yeah. Was it? Right. It got me back and forward to work. But so people are going to be able to notice you. What sort of coverage are you going to get on your journey around the world?
Well, I'd like to. A lot of people are interested in the trip because it's a little bit different for a doctor doing it, and I'm going to be popping into hospitals as I go round, maybe a vineyard or two as well, but yes. mostly hospitals. And I'll be sending reports and pictures back every day or two, or hopefully every two or three days, to my partner, who will be putting them on the website.
Right.
So that people can follow the adventure in real time. And for Christmas, my partner delightfully got me a GPS tracker, so people will be able to see to within a few feet where I am in real time.
Well, that's brilliant. So hopefully we can keep track of it. Are you going to send emails back?
Yes, I should be able to check on things whilst I'm out there. There should be, hopefully, touch wood, lots of internet cafes so I can get the message back.
I was just trying
back.
To get HCR 104 FM on your email coming to us to let us know how things are going.
Absolutely,
we'll keep people up to date on how you're going as well. So that's the thing. I'm going to delve a little bit in your mind now. What makes a person... I know you want to raise money for MagPass, but why specifically a motorbike around the world?
Because it's the only, as my point of view, it's the only way to travel that truly lets you interact with people, but also not take 3 years to do it. If you walk or pedal bike, that's a great way to actually meet and involve yourself in the populace, but I haven't got time to do that, plus I'm too old and fat. So I thought a motorbike, and plus it's my passion in life, is motorcycling. And that way, going on your own, you're out there, you're vulnerable, people seem to respond to you so much more. And that way, I can talk to people, meet people, and actually, you know, involve myself a little bit in the culture as I'm going round.
It's great stuff. How long has it been since the idea jumped into your head?
15 years.
15 years. Yeah. So this has taken 15 years to get where we are today, and your motorbike's on the way. When did you say you were going out yourself?
I leave on Monday evening.
Monday evening, so not far away now.
Yes,
after 15 years, you're on your starting blocks already.
It's been waiting so long; it's sort of an odd feeling to be so close.
For a layperson like myself, how to get all going through, you're going through various different countries, as you said earlier on, there's all this paperwork and that's gone. It must have been something of an ordeal just to actually get all your paperwork right and all your you're going across borders and there's places where you can't ride a motorbike, isn't there? You're going to have some other form of transport to transport you across water and this sort of thing.
Indeed. It's been doubly bad because the very difficult place to get through is Africa.
Yes.
And because the change of route was so last minute, I've done all the paperwork to get me through Africa, and that's the harder bit than South America. I've got a passport full of visas for Africa. Compared to Africa, South America is relatively easier. I only need a visa, I hope I only need a visa for Venezuela, which I've got.
Yes.
The rest, Brits are okay to sort of turn up unannounced for a month or so. I've let all the British consuls know I'm there and ask if they want a cup of tea as I go round.
Oh, right.
Certainly to circumnavigate, there's a bit of a problem with the Amazon, which is sort of going to get in the way.
Yes.
So I will need to take a boat, which I don't really know if it exists, but I've heard of people of doing it, across the estuary of the Amazon to try to keep on the outside of the country. Otherwise, you have to travel all the way up the Amazon to a place called Manaus, which I think is about 1,000 miles inland, before you can cross the Amazon.
Really?
Apart from that, there'll be a few little ferries, and going over the Andes at about 19,000 feet should be fun. But apart from that, I'm sticking to roads that I can find either on maps or Google Earth or on my sat nav. So hopefully,
yes,
I'm not going to come across a brick wall.
I don't think you've mentioned it yet. Is there any sort of miles or kilometres, I suppose we should speak in, you will be by the time you arrive back here?
Well, I don't speak French, so we'll stick to miles.
Miles, yeah.
I think, from having calculated it on Google Earth and on my sat-nav, it's at least 20,000 miles. And that will be all done on the bike. That's not including ferries and the whatnot.
I was asking you that because I thought, well, I won't say I'll spot you a pound a mile. You see that?
If I could have one person do that, I'd be a happy bunny.
Well, I'm sure people listening out there, I think we'd probably be looking at some firms, wouldn't we? You know, some organisations, companies and all the lot. You know, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing you're going to do, and I'm sure we can we try and get you some more sponsorship.
That'd be wonderful.
That was going to be my next question. You've obviously brought other people in to get you off the ground and to help you, particularly with sponsorship and things like that. How's that been going on?
Well,
I know you said earlier on you've had people sponsor the bike, haven't you? And stickers all over it now?
Oh, completely. You can barely see the original bike underneath it.
That's brilliant.
But I'm lucky. We're very lucky here to have the Magpass Emergency Medical Service serving us, which is the best air ambulance in the country. It's the only one who'll fly at night. But the people there are very skilled in sort of getting the message across. And I've been so lucky that they've taken me to heart, and they've really helped me involve the press, get the word out of what I'm doing. And then it's just an awful lot of work trying to, you know, contacting people, trying to get a bit of interest. And it becomes very demoralizing because 99% of the time people, quite understandably, can't spare the money, can't spare the time, or aren't really interested. And then every now and again, you find one person who is amazing and finds people for you.
Right.
And so you, after sort of 6 months of doing this, you build up a little network of people who just want to help you for the sake of it.
Right.
And it's amazing. I feel I know a lot more amazing people in the world now than I did 6 months ago.
Right. So how are you hoping people will sponsor you, like individuals?
Well, I'd hope they'd have a look at the website, because there's loads more information on there, silly pictures of me, and a little more information about the trip. And there's a link on the website to sponsor, donate online.
Right.
But if people would like to do something a little more in person, they could always directly give the money to Magpass, which is where all the it's going anyway.
Right.
But also they could join us for the leaving party. We're having a little bit of a bash at the Peterborough Greyhound Stadium this Friday, where the Magpass people will be. I believe the chief executive of Magpass is coming, which will be quite exciting.
Brilliant.
It'll be a fun night, and they can donate directly there.
Right, what I've got here is I've actually got some entry vouchers here. So if anybody actually wants an entry voucher, why not pop into us at Saxongate and you can pick them up from here. Turn up on the night?
You certainly can. You
yes.
can if you go to the website, you can in fact download or
right.
Just print off the vouchers from home.
Brilliant.
So it only costs a quid to get in, and that includes your nosh. So it'll be
right.
A jolly fun night.
And some interesting dog racing, and it doesn't cost you much, does it, to have a bet on the dogs?
All the winnings should definitely be donated.
I think you're right there as well. What I need to do is just play a little bit of a commercial, and when we come back, we want to know what sort of training you've been doing to get yourself. I'm looking at you here, and my waistband is a lot different to your waistband, and your abs are different to mine as well.
Not very much.
we'll go into a little bit in depth to see what you've been training to prepare yourself for this fantastic journey to raise money for Magpass. So we'll just play this little bit of a commercial, and we'll be back with you in a moment, Chris.
Thank you.
This is Huntingdon Community Radio, 104 FM.
Well, sitting back there and listening to a little bit of UB40, and I can't help falling in love. I'm speaking to Dr. Chris Target here, who's is having an unsupported motorcycle ride from England to South Africa and Nepal and back to England for charity, all in 8 months, 6 months, however long it takes, shall we say, Chris. there's no time scale to it, is there?
Well, there's how much money I've got in the bank to pay for the rent and things whilst I'm away. So there is a finite limit. It can't really go beyond 6 months, otherwise...
Yeah. You don't want your partner out on the street while you're away, do you?
I do not. I don't. No. She's not happy about me going as it is.
I know, so that...
I don't think she wants to be homeless for my adventure, no.
Right. Now, what sort of training have you done to prepare yourself for this? I know jokingly we said that our waistlines are different, but they are a bit different. You're a lot fitter than what I am. What sort of we say stamina, you must need that. I know you're riding a bike, needs concentration, but it does need strength as well.
It does, unless you're going very fast.
Oh, right. You're all right if you go very fast.
If ever you feel wobbly, always go faster. That's my answer. Right. Although, then again, I'm the man who lost his driving license last year.
Oh!
yes.
Yes.
Nevertheless.
Going too fast,
yes,
were you?
Yes, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
Nevertheless, obviously, it's important to have some fitness behind you. And certainly, if you're going up to 19,000 feet... my lungs will fill with water, my brain will start to swell, and I'll be running on less than half my new usual oxygen. That's why, actually, oddly bringing up, that I've bought some Viagra. Because Viagra was originally developed as a pulmonary hypertension drug to bring down the pressure. And when you go very high, you get very high blood pressure in your lungs,
right,
which causes you your lungs to fill with water.
Right.
So when I am going over the Andes, very high, I have to take diuretics and... God forbid, Viagra,
right,
to stop me passing out and not being able to breathe.
I wonder how many people believe that story.
Ah, having tweeted it, not as many as I would have hoped.
We believe you here, anyway.
I'll bring my partner back next time to prove that it's all true.
That's right, that's right. Gym work? Have you done any? Not into that?
Yes, yes and no. Yes, I've done... some training to get me out of a totally slovenly situation of which I generally find myself. Unfortunately, to try to fund a trip like this for someone who doesn't have a lot of capital behind them, I've mostly been working as much, which doesn't leave you very much time. If you're working as many hours as I've had to over the last, since August, to try to pay for the trip, I've sort of haven't left myself much time or energy left to do it. But I've got a little... exabyte, what's it, cross trainer thingy majig, yes, at home, so yes, I've done a little bit of that, but as you can see, I've prepared myself for near starvation with and cold weather with a little bit of insulation.
You need some insulation.
I think that's important.
That's my excuse as well. I always say, if we have a famine, I'll be the last one to go.
Well, exactly.
Right, now, it's all about raising money for MagPass. Is there a specific thing you're raising that MagPass are going to do with it, or is it just to go into the general fund to keep the ambulance in the air?
Well, it costs £3 million, £3/4 million a year to keep our MagPass air ambulance running.
Right.
And I know there's certainly been times recently when they've been close to having to shut down because they haven't had enough money to keep going. But it's also more of a personal thing. I would love, I'm an A&E doctor, and I would love to, when I'm more experienced and qualified, be a MagPass Air Ambulance doctor. So it was one of the first charities I thought to raise money for. But then, having had chatted the idea over with my partner's mother, it turned out that my partner and her mother, their lives were both saved by MagPass.
Really?
Yes, when my partner was seven.